He is a blessing to other people at other churches, and so we appreciate you letting him go and being able to preach at other churches. I heard a pastor talk about that. He kind of did a testimony on that, and I was like, yeah, our pastor's gone a lot, and so I don't know if he's a blessing to other. No, he is. He's a blessing to other people. 1 Corinthians 10. So when he leaves, just know he's helping another pastor's congregation. And you know what they see sometimes, people in the congregation? Sometimes people will get a little cynical or just wonder about, okay, is this pastor always getting on me about this? And then another pastor comes in and might hit the same thing. And you're like, well, okay, that's someone else. But, you know, we're so critical, we'll say, oh, well, my pastor told him to say that sometimes. But, you know, it's the Holy Spirit a lot of times when another pastor comes in and also hits maybe on that same thing that you were dealing with. So he didn't tell me what to preach or anything, so if I hit on something, that's the Holy Spirit of God. That's not him. He didn't even know I was going to preach this. We're going to talk about a fire escape in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I talk fast. Let me calm down my spirit a little bit, Father, there. Lord, I don't want to say anything you don't want me to say. I want the Holy Spirit to speak, Lord, and just pray you help as we get in this book, Father. We love the book. We thank you for it. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1 Corinthians 10. I watch your time. I know it's already, what time is it? 7 o'clock here, so, okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. It says, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur you as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. We're in verse 12, 10:12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So here's Paul. He's telling the Corinthian church, look, I don't care what kind of temptation you came under, or you're coming under, or you're being attacked. No matter what it is, God will make a way for you to escape from that temptation. And there's always temptations to sin and to do certain things. But God's going to make a way of escape. The question is, though, when God does make the way of escape, whether it comes through another Christian, a Christian tells you to maybe knock something off, or maybe he doesn't even know what's going on in your life and he mentions something, the question is, do we take that to our heart and apply it to us? And we say, oh, Lord, man, he might have been talking about me. Or if the pastor does it, or if you get something in your Bible, or maybe the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you while you're praying. And Holy Spirit of God says, I can't even answer that prayer until you get rid of that temptation, that sin that's in your life. The question is, do we apply it for us? Because a lot of times, pastor will come up here and he'll preach, and we're all like looking at a sin. We're like, who's he talking to? Bitterness, that ain't me, man. I must be talking about that person over there. And if we can't even apply it to our lives, then how can we take the way of escape? Take your Bibles and go to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. When construction workers would build these high-rise apartment buildings, they used to have to put at the back window a fire escape. It was a place for the resident to go to when all avenues of escape was cut off. And as life would go on, Genesis 19, as life would go on, people sometimes would forget about that fire escape. And sometimes with the adrenaline going and someone yelling, hey, there's a fire down below. Hey, everyone out. Let's go. There's a fire. Maybe someone yelling in the four-way there says, hey, there's a fire. The tendency sometimes might just be go out the front door and forget about that fire escape on the back. Or maybe sometimes as crime comes in the city, there's a tendency to put bars on that window and block that fire escape. Or sometimes that fire escape on that back window that goes down, it's been broken and it's been neglected and it was never taken care of to be repaired, and that fire escape got cut off. A lot of times we're like that. When God tells us about temptations, God tells us, okay, you got to get this right, Derek. You got to get this right. And I say, I can handle this. I'll be all right. And I kind of cut off that fire escape. Genesis 19, look at verse 15. It says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. This, of course, is talking about in Genesis 19, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot and his wife and daughters, they gotta get out. God's about ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so here's angels, and they're hastening Lot, and they're coming to him and says, okay, now, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters. So what these angels want them to do is escape. And so they're hastening. It's urgent. It's urgent. And you know, when sometimes temptations and sins, we don't take it as being urgent. We say, I'll be able to handle this. It's just a little white lie, or I'm just cheating just a little bit, or everyone else in my company is doing the same thing. They're all kind of lying about it. It's just, you know, we'll just whitewash it. We'll just watch over this. Or sometimes something happens and we say, well, that's just the way you look at it. And we kind of downplay it. So here the angels are telling Lot, all right, you need to get out. You need to get out. 16, and while he lingered, we do that, we linger, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So here's the angels, and Lot's lingering, and so they take hold of him and they bring him out of the city. Now, they're just right outside of the city. They still got to do something. And God brings a way of escape, and God says, all right, Derek, maybe you were just watching a little too much on that TV, watch too much of that news. It's time to turn that thing off. You can do something better. And now the Lord wants me to do something about it. He's instructed me. Now he wants me to do something. And that's what's happening here with Lot. The angels grab him, take him out of the city. All right, now, Lot, it's your turn to do something about this temptation, this problem. You need to escape. Look at 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So first he tells them in 15, all right, arise, get out. And, you know, just so you need to go. And then so he lingers a little bit in 16. And so he takes them by the hand, being merciful on them, and takes them out of the city. And now he's giving them a direct instruction here. He says, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain. So he says, go to the mountain. Go to the mountain. And you go to the mountain. Don't go in the plain. Go to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And 18. So here's Lot. He says unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Don't we do that sometimes? Lord comes and says, all right, turn that thing off, or get that bitterness out of your heart, or quit your complaining and murmuring. And we say, well, you know, I don't know if I'm doing that much. You know, I'm going to handle that, but I'm going to do it this way, Lord. I'm going to try it a different way. I get what you're saying. I understand, Lord. I saw from the Bible, I understand the preacher. But just to totally quit that thing, yeah. Let's try something a little different here. How about that, Lord? That's what's going on here at Lot. Look at 19. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. See, Lot's a snowflake. He's a buttercup, okay? So what he's doing here, he said, look, and I'm going to butter up the Lord a little bit. Look, I found grace. Look, you magnified your mercy. Look, so, you know, I've been out soul winning. I've been doing some stuff. I've been serving in the church. And look, I'm saved. I'm not saying you saved my life. So I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But I can't go to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. And we do that sometime, the temptation. I don't know if I can totally quit that thing altogether. Let me just have a little bitterness. Let me just have a little jealousy. And I know you probably won't say it exactly like that to the Lord. But what you say is, well, I forgive them, but now let's see if they forgive me. You can do that a little bit. You're doing it your own way. God says, no, just forgive them and get over it and just move on and just move on. And so here's Lot. He says, I can't go to the mountain. I can't go to the mountain. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. 20, behold, now this city is near to flee unto. It's a little one. Oh, let me escape hither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. So there's his excuse. There's his reason. He's going, we're not a little city. Ain't that far. Look at that. It's just right on over there. About a day's journey. Look at that. Look at that in verse, where is that? 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. So he's like, okay, that's just a little one over there. Miss Lot likes it. We can still see everyone. We can see Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not that far. We're not that far away. You know, we just, you know, we travel back and forth. Maybe they didn't believe he was going to consume the city. Maybe they didn't think the fire was going to come. But they're like, Lot's just like, that's a small, just little. It's right there. And not only that, today's journey, man, that mountain, boy, that's way up there. That's going to take too long to get up there. I just don't know. I don't know. I think my legs can carry me anymore. Look at 21. And he, being the angels, said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this saying also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. See, the Lord wants you to escape from temptations, and he wants you to do it his way. He'll accept. There's a good will, a perfect will, an accepted will. He'll accept your will, but there comes consequences. And he'll still come back to that. He won't be done with that. And you know, there's a consequence for Lot, I believe, not taking the direct will, the perfect will, and going to the mountain. You all know it. 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, what if they were still climbing to the mountains? What if? What if they were still hiking that mountain? Only took them a day to get to Zoar. And then, you know, they get to Zoar, and she looks back, and the Lord's still doing the destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah. What if they were still climbing? They were still going to the top of that mountain. I wonder if they all would have looked back and the Lord wouldn't have turned them into pillar of salt. I don't know. You know, maybe he would have been done with the destruction and they're still walking, they're still hiking, and the Lord's just waiting them for to get up there. I do know this, though, that his perfect will was for them to go to the mountain. I think Miss Lot might have just been too tired. She got to the top of that mountain and look back and to wonder about her friends. Take your Bibles and go to James. Go to James. James 1. Temptations come. You know, if you're in here and you're a Catholic or a Lutheran, you'd say, you used to recite the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, give us a day our daily bread, you know, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And how many times have we said that when we got up in the morning and said, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lord, you know my temptations. You know what I'm going to get involved in. Help me not to get into that. And like Pastor said this morning, he says, you know, when we're talking about sin and different things, he mentioned one verse. You know, if you think you're perfect, if you think you're doing all right, he mentioned this one. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. So to say, I don't know if I've been tempted in anything. Well, what about just not to do good? I mean, maybe you've been you go by someone and the Lord says, well, maybe you ought to help that guy out. Maybe you ought to give that guy a track, or maybe you ought to talk to him. And you say, I just don't have time. You're like the Levite and who was the other guy? The other religious leader with the Good Samaritan and they both passed him. But it was the Samaritan that stopped and helped. It was the Samaritan that stopped and helped. James 1, it says, James, a servant of God, 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Oh, I know he had to put that in there because you can't find it joy. 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Look at 12. Blessed, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You want to try to endure temptation? You want to test? Then just fast for a day. Fast for a day. I mean, you will be enduring temptation when you fast. Because there's just that, you'll start saying, why is everyone eating all this stuff? I mean, you know, if you fast, you'll be like, you don't need to eat all that stuff. Can everyone else just go without for a little bit? You'll become real righteous like Job, and you'll be like, ah, I can do it. Why can't you? You know, and but it says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation. 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When I was with Pastor Habman, he said, you see what's going on here in 15, that there is LSD, lust, sin, and death. They got LSD running in them. I'm like, oh, okay. Sounds pretty good to me. On August 15th, 1949, a crew of 15 of the United States, and take your Bible and go back to 1 Corinthians. On August 15, 1949, a crew of 15 of the United States Forest Service elite airborne firefighters, the smoke jumpers, would jump out into a raging fire. When all was said and done, only 3 would be alive. What happened? Most of these men had intense fire training. They were college educated. They were trained on the ground as well as in the air. How could this happen to such an elite group of people? The smoke jumpers, if you don't know about them, they're just they've got a problem with pride and ego, because they would be the upper echelon of wildland firefighting. This was going to be known as the Man Gulch Fire. The Man Gulch Fire happened in Helena, Montana, back in 1949. At that time, there were so many lightning strike fires going on that dispatch decided, because these men were so well equipped at handling these situations, that they could be left alone. So the communication was cut off with them in dispatch, and they were left alone. The Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And we get that way in our temptations and sin. We say, well, I've been a Christian for a long time. This ain't going to happen to me. I know better than this. I'm not going to be a fornicator, adulterer. What was it in Corinthians? It said lust. It said temptation. It said murmuring. I'm not going to go into all that stuff. That's not going to happen to me. And these men didn't think that this was what was going to happen to them was going to happen. So they're flying around this fire. And Wade Dodge gets a good idea of what's going on in the fire. In fact, all the men did. When we're up in the plane, we always look over and we kind of get an idea of the fire, and we kind of get an idea which way the wind's going. You can tell from the smoke where it's going. And so the foreman decides where they're going to jump out at and how they're going to attack the fire. So the men jump out, and when they all get on the ground, he gives them some instruction. He says, here's what we're going to do, men. Okay, y'all saw the fire. The fire was over on this ridge. We jumped over here. And so what we're going to do is we're going to build line downhill, and we're going to go down to the bottom of the river. We're going to cut across the river, and then we're going to attack the fire from the bottom and from the side, and we're going to cut line uphill. Now, when they cut line, they take their shovels and their Pulaskis and their chainsaws, and what they're doing is they're cutting a path, if you will, to stop the frontage of the fire. So if these guys over here with the fire and the smoke jumpers had already went through and cut a path, cut the trees, got all the forest debris out, the idea is this little path is going to stop this fire from coming and hitting the rest of the trees there. So that's their plan. They're going to cut downhill, go across, and then come up. They're about halfway on that mountain. They're not quite at the top of that mountain. And so Wade Dodge decides, okay, you guys go do that. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to hike over here, and I'm going to look to see what's going on with the fire. So he starts hiking, and there's a gully in between these two mountain ridges. So he hikes down in the gully, comes back up, gets out of the trees. Then he saw the fire. He saw what was going on. But he didn't like what he saw. In fact, what he saw stopped his heart. He saw that fire had crossed down on that in that gully and came over here on this bottom ridge. He knew what was coming next. He knew that fire was starting to advance towards the top, and it was going to start to get his men. So Wade Dodge ran as fast as he could back to where his men was at. And he started yelling to them. When he saw them, he said, "Drop your tools, let's go, the fire's coming, the fire's coming." Some of the men dropped their tools, some of them didn't. These were young men. You know, they're brave young men jumping into fires, macho, you know. And so some of them say, I don't need to drop my pack. I don't need to drop my Pulaski. And we're like that in the Christian life. Pastor comes and says, quit your sinning. Quit doing that stuff. We say, I'm all right. I'll be fine. And so he starts yelling at them, the fire's coming, the fire's coming, let's go. And so the first three that get up to where Dodge is at, they're watching Dodge, and it's kind of strange because Dodge is doing something that was controversial at that time. He starts a backfire, so the backfire will consume the trees and everything else in front of them. And then all they have to do is get in the black with him. We call it the black when it's burned over. That's the black. If the men will just get in the black, they'll be safe. So the first three come up, they're looking at Dodge, watch him start that backfire, and they said, nope, we're going to go off this way, and we're going to try to make it to the top of that mountain. And so off they go. And Dodge realized that he needed to warn them. He had to warn the next person that comes, and he's got to warn all his men to get in the black. If he can get his men to get in the black, he can save them. He can save them. So the next guy that came up was Hellman. And Hellman was second in charge behind Dodge. You know, man, he wins that guy. He'll get the rest of them in the black. So he told Hellman, he said, Hellman, get in the black. Look, the fire's already went over before us. If you'll get in that black, we'll get down. Look, that fire's going to come up close to us, but then it'll go around us. It won't hit us because, look, it's already burned. And again, I said that was controversial at that time. Dodge looked at him and thought he was crazy, and he said, the heck with that, and off he went. And no matter how much Dodge pleaded with every man that came up to where he was at, he couldn't get anyone to get in that black with him. Sometimes when Pastor Stephen preaches, and he says, look, you're going to die and go to hell. You've been sitting in this church. You've been having a good life, but you've never truly trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ. You're playing church. You're goofing around with your salvation, and one day you will die. What a shame it is if someone dies and goes to hell in a good Bible-believing church. I understand it, man, if it was a Lutheran church. I get it, a Catholic church, man, because they ain't preaching salvation. Even some of these non-denominational big churches, I've won people in those churches to the Lord, supposedly that are preaching the gospel. I mean, you can't tell a Lutheran come and have a relationship with Jesus Christ because they already believe that. You can't tell the Catholic that. They believe that. You can't tell them all believe in Jesus. They believe that because it's up here. They believe in Jesus, but they've never been born again. They've never asked him into their heart. And that's a problem. So there's Dodge. He's saying, get in the black, get in the black. He's kind of stomping it down a little bit. I hope I don't go through the baptistry. Okay, stomping it down. That is the baptistry, right? Trap doors or nothing. Okay. So he's stomping it down, trying to cool it down a little bit so the men can get in there. He's thinking they're going to come in. Man after man after man. Finally, the fire's coming. And that fire, it'll make its own windstorm. It picks up momentum as it preheats the fuels in front of it, and it just kept coming up and closer, and Dodge couldn't convince anyone, and he started to see the men, and they would go right past him. He knew it was time to get down. And so what he had to do was he had to get down on the ground, cover his head, and that's what he did. And that fire came up, and it came up with such a wind and a force that what it would do is it would bring him up and it'd slam him down. It'd bring him up and it'd slam him down. Listen, Christian, that's what the devil's out there to do with that temptation, just like he did with Adam and he did with Eve. He wants to tempt you to stop serving Jesus Christ. And when he does, he wants to get you back into the world. He wants you to come back to the world. But look, if you'll stay down with Jesus Christ, look, you got to humble yourself to get rid of that pride, that anger, that bitterness, whatever that temptation or sin is. You have got to get down and stay down with Jesus Christ. Look, Christ went before us. He went to hell before us, so we don't have to go there. Friend, if you're not saved, if you don't know Christ, make sure of it. But stay down with Jesus Christ, because that devil wants you to get up, and he wants you to flee. He wants you to flee from Christ, and that's when he's got you. That's when he's got you, when you're ready to take. But the Bible says to flee from the devil. It says to flee from the devil. It said there was three. There was three that day that lived. Dodge was one of them. He stayed down. Every time that thing would bring him up, he would just get back down. He knew not to run out. He knew not to run out. He didn't know where he would go anyways. He said, that's the only place. Where would you go anyways? If you leave this church, look, there's not too many good churches out there. Where are you going to go? Are you going to go to those big churches? Look, I was in there before I got saved, and we won't even go there. But where are you going to go to that's still preaching the word and that's got the gospel? Your friends, if you go to one of those big churches, you going to be able to bring your lost friend to those churches? Are they going to lead him to the Lord like this church would? So there's three of them. So those first three that went up, one of them makes it to the mountain. One of them makes it to the mountain. And then the other two see something off in the distance, and off they go. The guy who made it to the mountain died the next day from his burns. You know, there's a lot of people who think they're going to heaven. The Bible says, many will say unto me, in that day have not I prophesied thy name and done many wonderful works in thy name. And Christ is going to say, I never knew you. A lot of people are thinking they're going to heaven because they're riding maybe on their mom and dad's or wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend's coattails because they're a Christian and thinking they're going to go to heaven, or riding on the church's coattails because they're in a good church. So that man thought he was gonna make it that day. He said, if I could just make it to the top, I could just make it to the top. A lot of people trust in their good works. I've done a lot of good works for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I'm gonna make it. I just know in my heart of heart, I feel it. Oh man, I was in those feeling churches. You need to be born again. You need to be born again. And that guy thought if he could just make it to the end. And that's what people sometimes are doing with that good work theology. If I can just continue to do these good works, the Lord's going to love me and I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Well, the other two, like I said, they saw something off in the distance. And what they saw was a rock outcropping. And they ran for that rock outcropping. They got to that rock outcropping, and there was a lot of other bigger rocks there. And so that fire came up, and it got so hot, they had to jump from one rock to the other rock, and they just had to move around. But you know what? As long as they stayed in that rock, they were safe. And God allows those U-turns, no matter how far you get in your temptation, you get in your sin, and that fire's coming. You better take that fire escape. You better know sure where that fire escape is. And that's where those two guys went. They to that rock outcropping, and Jesus Christ is that rock. Don't get too far out there in that temptation, that sin. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 there. And then we'll go to Hebrews and we're done. Those three are the ones that made it. Those two on that rock outcropping and Wade Dodge. And afterwards, they saw the destruction. They didn't understand how they made it and the others didn't. Well, they looked for a way out. They looked for a fire escape. You wonder why some people make it in the Christian life and others don't. Because some heed to the fire escape. And when it comes and God tells them to turn, they turn. They turn. So there in 6, it says... It says, he's giving examples about Moses and the Israelites, and he says, here's our examples, and he says, don't lust in 6. He says in 7, don't be an idolater. And look, you can make a lot of things out of, into an idol, whether it's football or whatever else. And look, I like a good football game. I love the Denver Broncos. Sorry, I know you're Green Bay or Minnesota, but but you know, I would go to the jails on Sunday. And I would miss a lot of Denver Broncos games. So I didn't allow that to become an idol. And that's just, you know, my example. You can use whatever example you have. just don't let it become an idol. In 8, fornication. 9, tempting Christ there. 10, murmuring. And so, and there's many other things that tempt us. And we've got to be careful of that. And so God makes a way to escape. Let's finish in Hebrews 2 and we're done. Hebrews 2. Christian, what's the temptation that you've been struggling with? That you're trying to get the victory with? Don't tell me you don't have no temptations. We all have a temptation, but we just might think it's not that bad. We might think it's not that bad. Hebrews chapter 2. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How are we going to escape? How are we going to get out of there? You're in here and you're lost. I hope you're not. I don't think no one's going to condemn you or look at you wrong if you came to get saved. And you trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, even though you've been sitting in here for a while. There's a deacon over there in Dillon, Montana. And he was a deacon for a while in the church there. And something put him under conviction, but he ended up getting saved. And you know what? To do that, to be a deacon in a church and then come forward to get saved, I mean, that's pretty brave as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I never really sat in church my whole life. I went to the Lutheran church, but, I mean, we didn't care. But I never sat in a really good church. And, people aren't going to condemn you. They're going to love you. And they're going to be excited. When I first got saved, I come upstairs, and they're all happy. They were praying for me, and I had some longer hair and stuff. But they were praying for me, and I come upstairs, they're all happy. Oh, we're happy you got saved, Derek, we're excited. And I'm thinking in my brain, these guys are nuts. What are they looking at me like that for? Because, it wasn't to me, it wasn't like, ooh, glory, ooh, look at the angels, It was getting rid of that sin, and there was happiness, but it was a little bit different, And so people will be happy, though, for you if you get saved and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. But for the Christian, what's that temptation? What's that sin that we got to take care of, Pastor?